Thank you very much.
Very nice, Mr.
Very nice. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John. First of all, as I announced last night, thought Tish was doing much better, but today she wasn't doing well at all. So we need to continue to be in fervent prayer for Tish and her body and whatever's going on there. Need to be in prayer for Tish's sister, Wanda. And I haven't heard if she went home from the hospital today or not, but she needs our prayers. Need to be in prayer for Nathan and Amber. And let's see, what other prayers? How's your brother doing? We need to continue to be in prayer for your brother. All right. All right. Continue to be in prayer. Be in prayer for your niece, Alicia, and Molly, such as Molly. And it's easier for me to remember. I dated a Molly in high school, so I remember Molly. And so let's see, any other prayer requests that not aware of? Okay, just be in prayer for each other. Okay, let's get going into our study. So let's begin with the word of prayer, the purpose of the prayer, so the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to see things in truth, what's going on here, and that it has an impact as far as our life and understanding, I and you, you and me, in Jesus Christ's words, and then how this relates to the greater works. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that we are not left here for no cause, purpose, or reason. Therefore, we are left here with cause, purpose, and reason. Father, we pray that as we study chapter 14, we go through these things, that your Spirit will open our eyes to what we would do, what you would have us to do, Heavenly Father. And we know that we can do nothing outside of your Spirit, but being led of your Spirit, being oriented to his leading. And therefore, Father, we pray that these things that we're noting will have an impact in our daily life. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we have seen last week there are five things related to the doing of the greater works. So here we are talking about the greater works. And Jesus Christ did a great work. We are to do greater works. We haven't really zeroed in on what these are, but we've noted five things that are necessary for the greater works. It all starts with our faith. There's going to be no greater works without faith. And then secondly, the greater works are dependent upon the departure of Jesus Christ from planet Earth to the Father. And then three, the greater works are oriented to our prayers. And then it is, of course, going to be related to spiritual love. This does not surprise us. The force of spiritual love is going to be related to our performing the greater works. And then finally, the power of God the Holy Spirit. There is the power and the authenticity of our greater works. So this was laying out the groundwork for the verses that are upcoming in this passage. So we're dealing with Jesus Christ saying that we will do the greater works. Now, in verse 12, truly, truly, I tell you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Even greater than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. So there was the issue, the two things that we have going on in regard to faith and regard to him going to the Father, the first two that I have on the board. Now, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, There are four things that we want to know, or want to be aware of as we go through these. First of all, Jesus Christ comes to live when have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. It's a two-part package. Every born-again believer has the indwelling of the Spirit. That does not guarantee that he has the filling of the Spirit or the things that we're going to be seeing. But by the indwelling of the Spirit and then walking by faith, the first thing that is going to happen is that Jesus Christ comes inside. Jesus Christ comes inside of the believer. He resides in our soul. This is by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Then secondly, by the Holy Spirit, we know that Jesus Christ is in the Father and the Father is in Him. So it is by faith in the illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is in God the Father and God the Father is in Jesus Christ. This is known in regard not just an academic knowledge, but known by faith. Then the third thing that is pertinent to our study in regard to the filling of the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, we know that we are in Him and He is in us. So now we come to the personal side. We are in Him and He is in us. And this again is by this awareness is by the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And then the fourth, by the Holy Spirit, we perform the greater works. And we still have to identify and work on all of that. But this lays down the groundwork for building in our passage. We want to have control of this whole section of Scripture. Very few people grasp it and go right on through it and make a few comments. But this is the upper room. Our Savior's getting ready to leave planet Earth. Everything He says this night is pertinent to the church. So before we look at each verse, we have all the essentials, doing the greater works and having it all outlined, the five prerequisites of doing the greater work, faith, the part of Christ, prayer, spiritual love, Holy Spirit. Then what happens when we are in the power of the Holy Spirit? So these are the things that I want us to be aware of for fulfilling our mission on earth. And it really zeroes in as for our part, we have the departure of Christ. But if we just take faith and prayer and spiritual love and the Holy Spirit, there's the dynamics of the Christian life right there. There's our dynamics. Faith in the Holy Spirit and prayer, spiritual love, and of course, the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Our faith directed toward God, the Holy Spirit, given to us by Jesus Christ, allows the Holy Spirit to guide us in our prayers, to pour in the spiritual love, with the result we will do the greater works. Now let me go through that, because this is just a picture of how all of this is going to work. Our faith in the Holy Spirit is going to allow the Holy Spirit to guide our prayer life, and we've noted prayer preparation, which is where the Holy Spirit guides in regard to our prayer life. Pours in spiritual love. This comes from the Holy Spirit. He pours in the spiritual love with the result that we now do the greater works. So all of this is hinging, and Christ has all of these five things very close together. Right now we're looking at the big four that deal with us personally. The departure of Christ is necessary to do the greater works, but it's not prevalent as far as our action, our activity, our part in all of this. So, by our doing the greater works, and again, it is not our doing, and I'll come to all of this when we come to the words, it's not our doing, but it is allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us. Our part is faith. God the Holy Spirit does the work. It occurs in us or through us, just as it did in and through the person of Jesus Christ, and therefore the great union model, how He did the works of God the Father, or the Father was in Him. Another way of looking at this, just to familiarize ourselves with this whole section of Scripture, another way to look at all of this is, let's start off with the effect. The effect. The effect, Jesus Christ leaving. So the effect is going to be the greater works. This is the effect. Then we have the cause. The cause of the greater works is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The means of our experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit and the greater works, our faith. So we have the effect is the greater works, the cause is the Holy Spirit, the means is our faith, the motivation is spiritual love. Motivation motivated God to send His Son to die on a cross for the world, for God so loved the world, and that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The love was the motivator in Jesus Christ, and the love, spiritual love, is the motivation in our own life. His love motivated Him to do the great work, but it is this love that is our motivation in doing the greater works. The desire is prayer. Prayer is the desire. And then the person who would actually perform in the doing of these works is Jesus Christ Himself, working in us. Not us, not me, but Him. So this is another way of just putting together all of these things dealing with the greater works. The effect, the greater works. The cause, the Holy Spirit. The means, our faith. The motivation, spiritual love. The desire is prayer. The person glorified in all of this is Jesus Christ, not us. So our faith reveals that we know that we are totally dependent upon Him to do the greater works. Our faith is a recognition, a humbling of ourselves. We just saw in Romans chapter 1 and studying Habakkuk 2, quoted in Romans 1:17, we saw in Habakkuk 2 how the arrogant are contrasted with the righteous. The arrogant, they want to perform without faith. They want to do for God. Whereas the righteous are the humble and realize it can be by faith and faith alone. So our faith is the only expression of total dependency on Him. Sin, any category of sin, is independence of God. Many believers try to do the greater works by their own flesh, by the power of the flesh, by flesh obedience, by doing, serving Him, obeying Him. And this accomplishes nothing. Our prayers reveals personal relationship and reveals that we know. We have to know about the greater works. We have to understand where they fit into all these things before we will ask. See, the disciples did not ask for the Holy Spirit because they did not have an understanding of the whole picture that you and I are having right here before us. So this becomes a great issue. So our prayers reveal a personal relationship. It reveals that we know, that we ask. It expresses, as I have on here, our desire. And so our prayer life related to the greater works. Not prayer like when we pray for people. It's not the prayer I'm talking about. As we're going to see, these are prayers related to the greater work. And then, of course, love is the greatest expression of faith. Nothing else matters but faith expressing itself in love. For the eye that will see, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're doing the work. Our humble part is faith. And that's what humility is all about, is realizing that it's all by faith. Our faith, independent of self and totally dependent on God. Our faith toward the Holy Spirit accesses the power of the Spirit to guide us in our prayers, pour in spiritual love, the love of Christ, loving as He loved, and allows Jesus Christ to do the greater works in us. Okay, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Throughout the upper room discourse, Jesus Christ will use this introduction 7 times in just the upper room discourse. Truly, truly. 7 times in one discourse. Now, this introduces importance to what he is saying, importance to his message. Truly, truly. Important, very important principle. Concentrate on it. It is a reality that is going to affect your very existence. Truly, truly, I, Jesus Christ, say to you, he who believes in me, present participle of pistuo. Now, the thing about this is, P-I-S-T-E-U long O, pistuo, we're not talking about salvation faith here. These are men that are already believers. We're not talking about salvation faith. We're talking about a faith in what is going on. Now, the principle related to spiritual works, no one does the greater works who is not a born-again believer. And secondly, no one does the greater works without living by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. So, the greater works are limited, one, to born-again believers only, those who have believed in Jesus Christ, and secondly, only those believers who know how to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. And people, I sometimes feel like we're being arrogant and setting ourselves above everybody. There are just so few people who, all through the church age, knew how to be filled with the Spirit by faith. That is so evident by just looking at the church, through church history. What's the problem? The problem is very few know how to be filled with the Spirit by faith. In denominations and movements, and there's just, if you take the whole population of the world, and then those who understand that you're saved by faith in Christ alone, which is a very small number of people on earth, and then you have inside of that just a very small portion who understand that we're saved, or that we're filled with the Spirit by faith. So in the Christian life, we do not do anything apart from faith. Faith is our part in doing the greater works. Our faith accesses the power of God for God to do anything in us. Now, right now under discussion is the greater works. But we could talk about sin. We could talk about our relationships in marriage. We could talk about our relationships in social life and the church. All these things, in giving and singing and praying. But we're concentrating on the greater works here because that's what Christ is concentrating on. This has been God's plan of grace. Faith is the only thing compatible with grace. It's just amazing. Talking to some people just recently, confession is not works. Well, people, confession is not compatible with grace if God is supposed to act because I did it. It just doesn't go. It's not, the word homologeo is a different word than pistuo. And it's just a different word. It's not the same word. And this is the only thing compatible with charis or with grace. And I'm sorry. And just because you want to say it isn't, that doesn't make it not works. Just because your pastor or your denomination or your movement or whatever says that something is not works doesn't mean it's not works. I'm sure the Pope of Rome and people that believe in repentance, people believe in confession, people believe in that you have to change your life morally and all, they would not call those works. They wouldn't say those are works. But the Bible is very clear on what works is. If I do anything and God acts because I do it, that's a work. If I humble humbly go to faith, and he acts on the basis of faith, then that's not a work. That's grace. So this becomes so important in our understanding. So our faith directed toward God, designated member of the Godhead, activates his power on our behalf for deliverance, salvation, blessing, performance resulting in God receiving the glory. No boasting in man, and that means doing the greater works here. Faith is our part in doing the greater works. Faith is all that we can do. So we want to clear this up as we go into this. Now, verse 12 is the result of faith. Or, to be more specific, the results of believing the revelation of God the Father in the Son. Now, I almost said the power of faith, but that would have been incorrect. Faith has no power. The power is always in the object of faith. So, it's not the power of faith. Faith has no power. Power always relies in the object of faith. Whatever it is you're trusting it to do. We put our faith in Jesus Christ to save us. Can he or can he not save us by that faith? Put our faith in the Holy Spirit to pour in the fruit of the Spirit to perform the greater works. Can he do that? Will he do that on the basis of faith alone? Okay, truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus now addressing the disciples, the 11 disciples, Judas is gone now, the 11 disciples, and in effect all members of his body of the church throughout church history. He who believes in me, first, this is not redeeming faith. These are believers, but Jesus Christ is dealing with believing in what I've told you. He who believes me, the present tense, the real issue in each of our lives. We don't have a one-shot faith for living the Christian life. We have a one-shot faith for being saved. But living the Christian life is every moment we walk by faith. That's the present tense. It's a moment-by-moment walk. The righteous shall live by faith. And you recall that we saw both in Romans, New Testament, and the Old Testament, Habakkuk 2, that shall live refers to living each day of our lives. Now, in that study in Habakkuk, it was talking about things were so bad in the nation. I don't understand why this is going on. Why is it going on? How long is it going on? And God answers, I'm doing things. You trust me. That's walking by faith each day. Here we're dealing with faith in regard to the performance of the greater works in each day of our lives. So this is the living by faith. Okay. The works that I do, he shall do also. Okay, here's the word for works. It's the word is translated work right out of the lexicon, E-R-G-O-N, ergon. It means works. And many people, when they see this word works, they immediately go to the Christian life of obedience, of do and do. There it is. There's the works. There's what you got to do. Here's the works. And the works that I do, and so they're in control, and they judge others by whether or not others are doing works, others are doing what they're supposed to be doing, and by obedience, they do not mean the obedience that is faith that we've noted in Romans 1. In fact, they claim that we're filled with the Holy Spirit by our obedience. That's how you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to obey before you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what they teach. When in truth, we cannot do anything if we're carnal, dead in sin, temporally dead in sin. We cannot do anything except faith. Then the Holy Spirit does the works. But they will present a very well thought out case. They claim that you have to be filled with the Spirit by obedience. You have to obey first in order to be filled with the Spirit. Works by obedience. See, works by obedience comes before the Spirit-filled life in this teaching. And I used to teach it. My work was you had to confess other people. You've got to be moral. You've got to feel sorry. You've got to do this. You've got to do that, whatever their list is. And so what we're seeing here is that that is the opposite of the truth. Because if we got to understand, if we're carnal, we're spiritually dead, we cannot do anything until we get back into the light. They teach that one gains empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit by obedience first. And they try to control others, judge others by whatever their list is. And they never see what Scripture is actually saying. Many of these people are so hardened that they're just not going to see it. And I have, with certain people, I don't even try anymore. I just say, that's fine. You're so hardened, there's no way you're ever going to see what's going on. But for those who will allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes, believing is seeing. Who has an eye to see, know how to listen to the Holy Spirit, they will understand that faith comes first, and then the Holy Spirit, and then there is the obedience, that our obedience is faith, and then there is the performance of the greater works. It is so important each of us to properly understand what the greater works are. But what I'm dealing with is how we're going to perform them before we ever get there, so that when we get there, we can smoothly go through this. Our obedience is the obedience that is faith. Verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. The works that I do, the present active indicative of the verb poiao. P-O-I-E long O. Poiao. Okay. Poiao. Oh, thank you. Yeah, that is good. Poiao. This verb, poiao, means to do. It means to accomplish. It means to do the works I do, to accomplish. Remember that in verse 10, Jesus Christ said that the Father abiding in me does his works. I remember when I went to youth camp and taught the young people that part of my deal in this whole thing of walking by faith in the Spirit and the works and all was I had one big old football type young guy come up, and there'd be a pole in the middle of the deal or something, some wall, and I'd have him just over there pushing on it and straining, and then I would have a little girl carry a book across the stage, and I said, which one's doing work? And most of the time they said both, but that is not true. In a true understanding of what work is not that. Work is the movement. And I want to come to that. The reason I brought it up, we'll come to where this is going to fit into our deal. But just here, it means the works that I accomplish, works that I do. So in verse 10, the Father we're abiding in me, does his works. This is God the Father has said to do these works. Here Jesus Christ has said he does these works. It's important to understand what's going on here. For this is what is going to happen in our life. We're going to say we're doing the works, but we're not doing the works. So Jesus Christ, we could say Jesus Christ is doing the works, but he's not. Because we have in verse 10, the Father's doing the works. See? If we don't understand that, we're going to have trouble understanding, well, why isn't it me doing the works? We're going to have that trouble. So we want to be able to see from the union model here, Jesus Christ, in verse 10, the Father does his work in me. Then in verse 12, the works that I do. So what do we have going on here? So it depends on the union model of grasping this truth. I and the Father and me. I and the Father, It's a decision of Jesus Christ to set aside His divine glory, set aside Himself. And then the statement, the Father in me, God the Father makes a decision to be in Jesus Christ by the presence of His Spirit. And I'll show you that, an Old Testament passage. So this is how it works. So Jesus Christ, I and the Father, He's made a decision. I relinquish myself totally in Him. The Father in me, the Father has made a decision to be in Him and work in Him by the presence of the Spirit. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Get a few verses at this point in our notes. Isaiah 11. Verses 1 and 2. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. And the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, of the Lord, that's our Lord God the Father, will rest on, actually in, Him, Jesus Christ. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, and all respect of the Lord, of God the Father. So, this is God the Father putting His Spirit on the Son. Look at chapter 42, Isaiah 42. James Vernon McGee called the book of Isaiah the fifth gospel. And indeed, it serves so much in understanding Jesus Christ and God the Father and the war and so much that it's a very appropriate designation. Chapter 42 of Isaiah, verse 1. Behold is kind of like truly, truly. It's the same kind of principle. Behold, my servant. Okay, this is God the Father. The servant is Jesus Christ. God the Father, servant Jesus Christ, whom I uphold, my God the Father, chosen one, Jesus Christ, in whom my soul delights. I, God the Father, have put my Spirit, Holy Spirit, upon Him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. It's very important in dealing with the greater works, as we're going to see. Now look at Isaiah 48. Another one of my favorite passages in dealing with the Trinity in one verse. 48:16. Come near to me, listen. There's that beckoning of listening and the great warning they would not listen, so we have to listen. This means to listen with the ear of the Holy Spirit, ear of faith. Come near to me, listen to this. From the first I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I was there. And now the Lord God, God the Father, has commissioned me, Jesus Christ, and His Spirit. Boom, boom. So we have the two sendings right here together and the working. All right, Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God, okay, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, of the Lord God, God the Father, is upon me, Jesus Christ. Because the Lord, God the Father, has anointed me, the Son, to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. These are descriptions of us as unbelievers. Afflicted, brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. Okay, let's go back to John 14 now. Yes. 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 Okay. He, the Father, has sent me the Son. All right. Okay, so the union model, I and the Father and me, how's the Father in Him? By the Spirit. How is Christ going to be in us? By the presence of the Holy Spirit. God is said to do these works. How does God do these works? By the presence of and the power of His Spirit. Jesus Christ is said to do these works by submitting Himself by faith to the power of God, the Holy Spirit. If we see and grasp this, then we will understand when we read it, we are to do these works. It's not us that is doing them. We will do these greater works by submitting ourselves by faith to the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ is the one doing these works by the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. So we're our part here is just being used of God, and we're going to get blessings for it, and the joy of a meaning, of a purpose for being alive. I saw the other night a repeat of the movie Independence. I don't know, or Independence Day. I don't know if you saw it, but one of the lines that I enjoy watching is where the scientist and his estranged wife were having a discussion, and she was talking about, she said, "Don't you want to be a part of something important?" And of course his romantic answer was, "I was," meaning with her. But I think about that, and that's something I think we all do want. I think we do want to be a part of something, not just idly living through our life with no meaning or purpose. And here we are, we're a part of the most important thing in the history of man, people. And I understand that some of you, but a lot on Sunday, love to have a lot more people and feel like there's a lot of energy and a lot of people and a lot of things going on, and I understand that. But even with the very few, we've got to understand we're part of something extremely important in history. In fact, the most important thing in history. And this is what we're dealing with. Okay, the works that I do, He shall do. This is a reference to the believer walking in the power of the Spirit. And then he says, and greater works than these. Word works is not repeated. And greater than these. The word works is not there, but it is understood in the grammar of the Greek. Now, Jesus Christ says that we will do the greater works. This is an awesome thought. Doing greater works than Jesus Christ. If we just stay with those words for a moment, that is a profound thought. How could I possibly do greater works than Jesus Christ? That would cause, without further understanding, that would cause for some very strong meditating and thinking about. That's an awesome concept. He shall do greater works than these, greater works than I did. Now, we go into this, and remember that it's going to be totally dependent on faith. And that God is going to have to be doing these. And this is why this passage can be so complicated, because how can we possibly do greater works? Now, there are different ways that people explain this away. But what you and I have to understand is that no matter what we do, even the answer, and I'll just jump ahead, some people take the greater works means greater in number. But people, even if we said that, that's not what it says though. The Greek word doesn't mean greater in quantity. But let's just take that. Then that would be giving us some kind of, I can do greater works, greater in number. He only did it. He only got served 3 years. I got, you know, a whole decade or something. People, we can do no works. This is so important. And this is why I keep driving it home and coming back to it. And it's just like our salvation, where God's, I will do this for you. Trust me. Remember how we used to have that on the board? I will do for you. You just trust me. And this is the heart of what we're dealing with here. God will do the greater works if we just simply trust Him.
I have a question here in verse 12. several he's in here. So the last two he's obviously can't refer to us. They either have to be the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ from what you're talking about here.
Okay. If we take the structure of the verse, I say to you, he who believes in me.
Oh, that's the believer.
Okay, that's a believer. The works that I do.
But it's understood it's the believer.
Yes. The works that I do shall he, all right, that goes back up to the first pronoun. It's a corresponding pronoun. They refer to each other.
Well, I'm not sure.
Well, I'm just saying in the Greek, that is the corresponding pronoun defining it, the picking out the subjects.
Well, the he should be the Holy Spirit, then either the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ doing the works through us.
Well, no, it's going to be, that's what I'm trying to say, John. It's even whenever Jesus Christ does it, it's the Father doing his work in him. But he says Jesus Christ does it. So we are said to do the works. And that's why I'm spending all this time that I've been doing tonight so that we understand it is not us doing it, but we are God working through to do these things. So that's why I'm showing, so that we do not get confused and think that we do the work. What I'm just saying right now. Yes.
I mean, there's a big distinction.
I understand that.
Yeah.
So okay.
Who's doing the works here? I know you're making a parallel to the Jesus Christ and God the Father doing the works
to
Jesus.
To make that the Holy Spirit, the antecedent being the Holy Spirit, is not in all in the context at this point. In the verse and the context. So it would be very... it'd have a great grammatical problem making it something that's somewhere else other than the preceding he that's already there. Well, it's like we said. It's like we said. If John would have just said, if you will confess, you know, what, to whom, and laid it all out. But, you know, people, and we'll get to this in Romans 1, As clear as it is in the Bible, people still think homosexuality is okay. But I have no problem with that because as clear as the gospel is, people still don't understand it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That to me is about as clear as it can possibly be. And look how many false gospels there are out there and what you got to add to it. Some add baptism. Some add that you can lose it. Some add just all kinds of things. It's just, no matter how clear he made things, in our view, there would still be those who would not see it.
But he said, believe on Jesus Christ, a noun. If he said, just believe on him, that'd leave it up in the air.
Yeah. So.
Real clear. Though.
Yeah, it's real clear.
But where you have pronouns, it's kind of up.
Yeah. Okay, so. I will do for you, trust me, is the point that we're dealing here. Remember that these men are discouraged, just as we all get sometime in the spiritual warfare. When Jesus Christ says that we will do greater works than he did, this is giving them encouragement. What's going to happen to us, see? They came in discouraged, in fear, and were, and now he's getting them oriented. Wait a minute, people, y'all have got a mission. And we'll come to what the greater works means, but y'all've got a mission now. And you got a purpose. You can't just sit and cry and mope about me leaving. And he's going to say that in Acts when they're all standing there watching the transfiguration of Jesus Christ going up into heaven, and they're all standing there and the angel's going to come and say, what are y'all doing? Well, we're looking, what are you looking up there for? You got a mission. You got things, the greater works that you need to be doing. When Jesus Christ says that we will do the greater works than he did, what is he talking about? Okay, you'll do greater works than these. What's he talking about? Jesus Christ calmed the sea. Jesus Christ healed the sick. Jesus Christ called the lame to walk. The blind to see. When's the last time we've seen any of these things done? When's the last time you saw anyone calm the sea by speaking to it? feed 5,000 with minimal food. Calls a blind person to see in a lame walk, the lame healed. Someone maybe that you loved. Jesus Christ fed 5,000 people with a fish and loaves. And if that isn't enough, Jesus Christ raised the dead. When's the last time you heard anyone raising someone from the dead, being dead? I'm not talking about, well, they were on the operating table and they went out. I'm talking about being dead for 4 days. Where their body starts decomposing and they're brought back to life. Yet, we're going to do greater works. We're going to do greater works. So, is he talking about healing and calming the sea and all these things? What is Jesus Christ talking about? And he talks about greater works. Well, that's what we're going to come to. Two popular interpretations that miss the point of the greater works. One, that we will do some of the miraculous things that Jesus Christ did. We will perform miracles. There have been people throughout all church history, they were called miracle workers, and they're still here today. And they perform miracles, and they cast out demons, and they do this. I've never seen or heard of any of them raising the dead and making the blind, truly blind, see. But there are people who believe this. A great many people think that he is referring to the very things that he himself did, or that the Father did in him by the Spirit, by these miracles. Then what these people do, here's the kicker, way they get around it, what these people do is then they make a big issue out of faith. Now here's where faith becomes a work. If one does not do the greater works, it's because they do not have enough faith. They make a work out of faith. If you're not healed, it's because you didn't have enough faith. What is lacking is faith. You need more faith. Now, a lot of problems here. But Jesus Christ is not in any way making an issue of the magnitude of faith here. That's very important. He is not making any issue of the magnitude of faith. He is not speaking of greater faith. He is speaking of greater works. He does not say he who has great faith will produce greater works. Has nothing to do in that category. The only thing he is teaching about faith is that our faith will result in the greater works. As we walk by faith, we will produce the greater works, whatever they are, whatever we're going to see they are. A measure of faith will produce the greater works. A grain of mustard seed of faith will produce the greater works. Another popular interpretation by most people is that this is greater in number. Well, number one, there's more of us throughout the church age. Secondly, we have more time. He had 3 years, so it's greater in number. So what Jesus Christ is saying is that we will do greater in number and sensation, not so much in the miraculous aspect, but in the number. Even they, though, I went back and did some work, and didn't really come up with what the greater works were. Just that they would be, they say that we will do more because there's more of us and we have more time. Each believer will do a greater number of works than Jesus Christ did. Then these people seek to control their church or organization. You need more works in your life. You need to work harder in your life. You need to do more in your life. So that's how they set this up as a control thing. Do more. Do and do. Do and do. This is the cry of the Pharisees. More and more. More and more. So, what is Jesus Christ talking about? Jesus Christ is not talking about miracles he did. As we have seen, these miracles were done by Jesus Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit to substantiate who he was. We've studied so many of them in the Gospel of John itself, that he was the promised Messiah. He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. When Jesus Christ said, "Those who walk by faith will do greater works," he did not have in mind miracles, And he wasn't talking about more in number. He had an entirely different framework of mind going on. The world is impressed with miracles, with healing, with feeding. But people, these do not save a person for eternity. All these miracles, all the healing, the feeding does not save. You can heal a person, but that does not mean they will be whole through all eternity. You can feed someone, and it does not mean that they will eat the bread of life. So what Jesus Christ is talking about or referring to when he says those who walk by faith will do the greater works, he's not talking about miracles and all of these things. He's talking about something far more important. He is referring to spiritual works, works related to the eternal kingdom. Related to the eternal kingdom. Okay, let me see here. This brings us to wanting to go to another passage where we're going to go through a long study, and I would just get started. So let me just close by pointing out what the greater work is. The work that Jesus Christ came to do was in reference to the Jews. He came to the, and that's where that passage comes in Romans. In Romans 1 we saw, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. So Jesus Christ came to bring in the kingdom to the Jews. He was rejected. And being rejected, he left earth. Now, what is going to happen is the church, we get to open up the kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, to all Gentiles. And this is what he's calling the greater works. And I've dropped everything by pointing it out right now. I kind of wanted to build on it for you. But this is the greater works. Here is the Jews, and that he came for, and they rejected him and as the king, and they rejected him as Messiah. They rejected his kingdom, and they crucified him. So he departed earth. Now the church, that you and I, we are here in the proclaim section of history. We get to proclaim that God did it. And he did it for everyone. He provided salvation for everyone. So, the Jews is the great work. This is the great work. Bringing in the Jews. The greater works is bringing in the Gentile world. Bringing in the Gentiles into the kingdom. That's why the Gentiles will be a great issue for Paul in the Jerusalem Council in Acts. We might read it. We hadn't read it in a long time. And why there's always a lot of talk about the Gentiles and the Jews. In Romans 1, to the Jew first and to the Gentile. And throughout Romans, he's going to bring these back and forth and compare. This is the great work. This is the greater work. Great work related to the Jews. The greater work related to the whole world. Being invited into the kingdom. Well, we'll pick it up here next Wednesday evening. Let's close in a word of prayer. How awesome it is, Heavenly Father, that you have chosen us, members of the church, to work through us, to use us as the vessel of proclaiming the truth, of doing the greater works. We're humbled by this. I pray, Father, that as we continue through this study and grasp it more and more, that we will find it becoming a part of our prayer life like it hasn't been before. we will grasp how walking in Christ and loving as Christ loved is so pertinent in our very existence on earth. Not just in our marriages and our homes and church, but in our very purpose of being here. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.